Fox. Used to be a studio, Kevin. Now it's just a content producer for Hulu, of all things. Listen, I used to love Hulu back when it was actually a decent product. But, like, I wouldn't subscribe to Hulu for the current crop of
original product.
Yeah, all these sadly produced Fox movies. I mean, this is our second one in a month, I guess.
I didn't know this was Hulu until I realized it.
Well, there's the sex appeal. And now No Exit. And I've seen a bunch of other ones. They just released like two more and they're all Fox movies. I'm just like, okay, so Disney's not even trying to put any Fox movies in.
They probably just had all this shit in a can. They were just like, just fill this up.
That can ran out. West Side Story was technically the end of that can and it got delayed and released because Spielberg was attached. That was the end of the can or the bottom of the can. Depending on the cans.
Into the hot Fox box.
Ooh. Yeah. Like, that was the last batch of movies that were actually, like, pre-Disney buy. So these are all, like, Disney Fox movies.
I gotcha.
So. And I saw the poster, and originally I thought you'd pick this because it was horror.
Because
I saw, like, a hand on a window, and I was like, that's horror. And then I saw the other poster, and I was like, what the fuck is this? What am I watching?
That's the only poster that I saw was the ensemble with the cast. Right. And I thought it was like some wannabe
poker party.
Yeah, poker party. Yeah. No, I thought it was some wannabe Agatha Christie shit, but in like a cabin.
They were like, we'll just do five little Indians, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that how it goes? Agatha Christie might have not been very woke when she wrote that, you know.
That was like from like 70 years ago or something.
I'm sure it's way more than that, but yeah, you're right. Let's movie. Again, it's No Exit, 2022, hour 35 minutes, rated R, because we got a lot of themes going on here. Directed by Damien Power, pretty good name there, Damien Power Productions. Written by Andrew Barr and two other jabronis that I don't really care about. Starring Havana Rose Lily, or Liu, I don't know how to say her last name. Havana Rose Liu, I don't know, Darby, Danny Ramirez, Dennis Hasbert, as you know, as the All-State first black president on 24.
I like that guy.
Yeah, and Dale Dickey, a name, very confusing when you see her face.
Now, Dale Dickey needs to open up a barbecue spot right now.
Pretty sure she probably has one.
Oh, Dickey has a few.
Yeah, she probably has a pot dispensary and is just like hanging out with, you know, other people.
Barbecue stoners?
Yeah, barbecue stoners. She's just vaping pot and just like blowing big streams. She's like, I just mix it in with the barbecue, gets the stoners real hungry.
Well, I'm just saying, because there is a Dickie's barbecue.
There is, I know. It was well played. Our movie begins in recovery, Kevin. And I wanted to leave this movie so quickly because I was like, don't do a movie. Don't give me a junkie to follow.
Yeah.
Please don't. Junkies make bad decisions and I'll never root for a junkie. Do you want me to root against your main character? Do you?
But she's trying to better herself, so you should be speed bumps in life. Well, you're led to believe that just by her surroundings and kind of how she's approached. But she's got a little bit of a edge, a little bitter.
Well, we're listening to a woman with a well-rehearsed story. And And Darby, which is, I don't know, I guess common name for someone. If I met a Darby, I would be like, Darby, huh? We're not friends.
Darby Allin, there's the wrestler. There was a Darby in a show called Peep Show from the UK that I watched that I very much enjoyed. And I think it was that little guy that lived under the stairs in the Harry Potter or something. Oh, wait, he was Dolby, like Dolby Surround Sound.
Yeah.
Dolby.
Dobby?
All the HP heads are just yelling at you.
I think they're the Potter people. Hogswardians.
What are they called?
Ravenclaw.
The muggles are screaming.
Yeah, goddamn muggles. I'll call it what I want. I'll call that little elf thing. I don't even know what he is, what I want. They gave him a sock and that got him free.
He's like a stair monkey, right?
I don't think that's what he was, no. He was I think they called him an indentured servant. I mean, when you really look at some of the themes in Harry Potter, you're just like, oh.
Yeah, Dobby. Dobby.
Dobby, yeah. You said Dolby first.
Oh, sorry.
You were like, Dolby Atmos. I love it. Fucking rocking in my headphones.
Have you ever heard that? So crisp and clean. He was a male house elf.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, he was a slave.
He disobeyed his masters, and he's trying to warn Mr. HP of the plot to have the Chamber of Secrets reopened. This sounds intriguing. Is this a book?
A couple of them. Huh. I mean, don't talk about the writer, though. She has a lot of ideas.
It sounds like she has a lot of ideas and opinions about things that she's put into these novels. I wonder if it just really transcends.
I'm not going to touch that one. We're just going to move on because we're back with our Darby, who's in recovery. It's her turn, Kevin, because that's the classic. Anytime we're doing an addict circle, our main character, like, we can't miss their turn ever. But they couldn't have already gone. I just for once, I'd be like, hey, remember I already went? And then we just move on and don't have to hear their shit.
But why even have the scene, I'd wonder.
Yeah, well, because she's got to get a phone call. And we have to say her name. I have to go around the circle and be like, your name is Darby. Now the audience knows you.
Why can't she just be sleeping in her bunk? And then they're like, Darby, you got a call.
And she's like, no, I'm coming down from a major fucking Ritalin high.
No, you're after hours. I'll give you the message, though. Your mom, she ain't doing so hot. She's in Salt Lake City. Maybe she got the big C. I don't know. What? My mom? There you go, movie. I just
maybe she got 15 minutes. Yeah, she got the big D. Disappointment in you.
Boom. It's killing her. Click. I just work here, everybody. I'm the dude in the white that changes your pee pan.
But fucking Mike the orderly, he's just like,
even though you should be using the bathroom on your own.
You should be on your own. I mean, it's not really standard practice.
How did everyone get a pee pan?
For recovery junkies to use bedpans. Or for me to change them, but
they're supposed to be in their bed? This pan? Oh my god.
It's become a weird practice. I mean, the ladies are constantly spraying everywhere. Fucking sheets are a mess. Goddamn murder scene. Fucking Jackson Pollock all over in here. Yeah. Don't get me started on the men. I mean, those fuckers can't hit for shit. May as well just put them in a fucking diaper.
So those weren't baby
26-year-old junkie pants. Comes in. He's just like, is that why I wear this fucking diaper? He's like, I'll just use the toilet like normal. Use a fucking bedpan, Murray. I swear to God. He's like, all right.
Not in this movie, everyone. Not in this movie.
Yeah, so Darby Allin, she gets the bad news. Just adding that, Kevin. I know it's not her real name. That I think it's her brother-in-law has called her to be like, your mom, she ain't gonna make it. Sister. No, it wasn't the sister.
Really?
It's Joe, and he's going against Devin's wishes.
You're right. I remember that.
Like, I don't even know if I should fucking tell you, Darby, because, I mean, like, you're trash, and you've trashed his fucking family.
Yeah, the family really is just kind of middle fingers up, because I don't give a what.
So Darby's just like, get my doctor on the phone. Why did my mom have to die at 5 o'clock on a Friday when all the doctors have gone home?
Pretty inconvenient, mom.
Yeah. And so they're just like, we'll leave a message, whatever. And so Darby's not happy. She goes to her bunk. She's like, I gotta gotta make a fucking phone call. So I'm gonna go to the girl that I made fun of in the circle and be like, give me your phone. I know you have one. She's like, what? What makes you think that?
You gave it to Loose Titties over there so she could call her kid for Loose Titty Day. And I know you have one. So give it to me or I'm be snitching. No one has a phone.
I was like, yeah, hey, I was like, man, fucking typical junkies, like fucking scorched earth or no. Give me what I want or I'm scorching everything. I was like, God, you're the worst. I was like, I hate you, Darby.
Gimme.
Yeah. So fucking bad actress, fucking Magoo gives her the phone. She calls her sister. Sister's like, we don't want you. Fuck off. Mom's not going to make it.
Movie stops right there. No one's answering that number. They don't know.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. It's like, no one's just like, you know, well, I mean, unless you have a junkie sister that calls you from random numbers all the time.
But we don't like junkie sisters. So you're for sure not answering. You got to give the pretext heads up. Say, hey, this is me. I'm calling from an unknown number.
She's still going to. So. But yeah, so now Darby's just like, fuck it. I'm breaking the fuck out of here. Somehow, some way. It's not very well played out because she breaks into a closet loudly, gets some stuff loudly.
What size was that screwdriver that, like, what are they working on where they need that gauge of a screwdriver? Do you see how massive it was?
I believe it was a 1975 Cadillac Seville, Kevin.
It looked like a the screwdriver looked like a chisel. I was like,
they do auto shop class to help them with a junkie
recovery. Okay, I believe that.
You're like, the fucking heroin gave you a shaky hand, we're going to give you a steady hand. Fix that fucking Cadillac. Do it.
That fucking converter. You suck.
Get it off. Protect it. There's saws on them off, motherfuckers. They're selling them for a lot. You got to protect it. They're all licking it. It's not fucking drugs. You said it was worth money. Fucking
so she goes
to junkies.
She GTAs the orderly's car. He's got
after setting off the fucking alarm and no one chased her. Everyone's junkie on the
run. I don't get paid enough for this.
Yeah.
He's got some crack.
Yeah. Something.
Heroin. He's got
some good shit.
Yeah.
She's just like, one day at a time, huh, Mikey?
Yeah. He works there.
Real piece of shit, this guy. I mean, he had a creeper fucking vibe to him, too.
Oh, yeah. He probably touches them when they're not supposed to.
Oh, yeah. He's just like, yeah, I'm the reason we do bedpans. So I see your junk and pee. It's the two things I'm into.
I take pictures and I put it on the internet.
I mean, just for me, it's my site. It's got a private password. I don't sell it. Just kidding. I do. I'm raking in the dough. Did you see that? I'm driving a Corvette. I'm sure it's a 2002, but whatever.
Like fucking, yeah.
Yeah. And so on bald fucking tires, she's just like, I got to make it to Salt Lake to see my mom die.
No way, dude. You're not going to make it. There's a blizzard coming.
Yeah. So she, at this point, she has like a flashback. Oh, she pulls over to the side of the road.
For a snooze.
Get a snooze.
And the storm is picking up.
Yeah. She has a flashback of the first time she was found stoned out of her mind with a needle in her arm in a car. And her mom and her sister just banging on the window like, you fucking junkie.
I think that was supposed to give you a little bit of a swerve that she just committed to the drug she found, because you do see her try to struggle with it. She's like, I should just get high and forget about everything like I always do. But not this time. I'm going to be a good daughter and I'm going to, you know, kiss my mom's ass goodbye because I know she's on death's door. So it kind of teases you as the viewer going, oh, she just went right for the needle, and got shot up that heroin or whatever, and just disappointed the audience as well.
But said, tap, tap, tap. Police Johnny officer. Law. Yeah, he's just like, this car was fucking registered as hot. Nah, just kidding. You gotta turn back or...
You're not making it through the pass, center. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's like, I'll go to the visitor center. He's like, you see that you do. And they just stare at each other in the rearview mirrors for, like, too long. But she makes it up there. Didn't seem... I mean, the blizzard seemed fine, Kevin. Like, if you can get to, like, the visitor center a couple miles up the road, I'm like, you could just keep going. Fuck them. So, but yeah, no, Darby's playing it straight. You gotta go
through the mountains and shit, dude. And,
like, yeah, that what car, fucking that mountain weird. Was she driving on? Like...
I don't understand where the Rockies. Well, you don't know where she's at because
you do. You know she's in Northern California.
They say that?
Mm-hmm.
No, I must have missed it.
She's going through Northern California to Salt Lake City. And at some point, there's Reno. I'm just saying, the map in this fucking movie is logistically wrong. So
geographically wrong?
Geographically, too. That, too. Yeah.
That's the biggest little city, man.
Well, so she pulls into the visitor center. She gets out of the car, finally. She goes in. And we meet our cast of characters. There's a man and a wife. A man and a woman. Husband and wife. some dude sleeping. And a guy that very much so will forever be typecasted as a creeper.
Yeah.
Even though I'm looking at his picture, and without the gross hair and the 5 o'clock shadow, he's pretty normal looking dude. So
he just does a good creeper look. Well, it's the married couple, Ed and Sandy, and then you have Ash and Lars.
Yeah, but we don't know anyone yet because Darby's guy used the pisser.
So, as one does when they're out there big rigging.
Yeah. So the women's room is fucked, and so she goes to the men's room, which is not as fucked, and she just kind of hangs out in the toilet trying to get a hold of her sister still for some reason. Probably to tell her, like, hey, don't let mom die. I'm on my way.
Don't die on me.
Yeah. And she comes back out, kind of pseudo-introduces herself, and I think this is where they play bullshit.
Yeah, they play, which everyone's like, never heard of it. I was like, that's the only game I know how to play. Like, yeah, I was terrible at card games, but I know that game.
What? I was like, fucking the military guy who loves cards has never heard of the game bullshit. And also, Kevin, why would the worst liar of the group be like, let's play a game of lying? Like, I get that this was supposed to give us some sort of clue and insight into these characters.
Yeah,
I just think it was too early in the movie, like, to...
They needed a little bit of a buffer to be more comfortable, in my opinion. Like, I needed a little bit more of everyone needs to realize we ain't going anywhere for a long time. Because, but I do... So this is an important part of the movie, because what it does is it tries to usher you past the fact of how they kind of start letting down their vulnerability of their walls and who they are and what they're... And the movie wants to really get past that and get you wrapped up into this game and their dialogue, because it's trying to fuck with you here if you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
But me... One of the signs of a movie I always try to do, especially if it's a thriller or a horror movie, the big goal is always to put yourself in that role. Like, what would you do in this scenario? Most people probably go sit in the corner and try to get their phone to work or eat snacks until they have to, like, shit their pants. But these guys take it more... Or just shit their pants. The bathroom's down. But they kind of want to get you into this. They want to kind of get the movie going already, you know?
Yeah.
And I think
does she go outside first?
They play a round of it, and then the other guy freaks out, remember? And then they're kind of just like, oh, why'd that guy freak out? And he's like, oh, I got to go check on... He has to go to the van to basically feed the little girl that he's kidnapped. And check in on her. But she's already gone out there, and she starts snooping around. And then she sees the little girl. Like, she goes to her car for something. I don't know if she goes to get the cocaine or whatever.
No, she has that on her. Okay. She's trying to get reception, and she happens to walk by the van, and then a hand comes up. Yeah,
and then they're like, because the cardboard that was blocking the windows has fallen, and she sees a little girl that's being kidnapped back there, and then she's like, oh shit, let me check on her, goes in there, and I think it's Lars is the creepy one.
Yeah,
and he goes out.
I'm trying to remember, because they go around, and they say where they're from and stuff.
Well, they play like, the game. They try to make small talk. Yeah,
it's just awkward and horrible.
But everyone's suspicious of each other. Like the ex-Marine guys, like, he don't like nobody.
Yeah.
He warms up to Darby a little bit once he finds out that her old man was enlisted. And he's like, oh, that's cool. What regiment? You know, what platoon? You know, and then they kind of have a tiny bonding. So. But, yeah, it's weird, just kind of like, this is just everyone's vibe overall for the whole movie without kind of going to every scene, because a lot of it is a back and forth, inside outside, right? It's just the whole gist.
Yeah, it tries to do this whole like stay in the room type of thing without really ever committing to that, unfortunately.
Exactly. Like Sandy is the wife of Ed. Ed's is kind of a straight shooter. That's his whole vibe. He's upfront about everything. He's not big on Lars. He's not big on Ash because he says some kind of weird off-color stuff that he just doesn't like. Lars is kind of like...
Oh, he thanks him for his service, and he's just like, don't do that. You know?
Yeah, it's yeah.
Like, you don't know what I did. It's a hollow statement, basically.
Yeah, it's like, I killed motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, it doesn't really sit well with him. Sandy's whole motif is more of like, let's not talk about it. I want to get this over with. So she has this kind of uneasy vibe on her. Yeah, just wants to get through it. And then Lars comes off like the creeper tweaker guy. And then Ash is trying too hard to be a nice guy. And that's kind of everybody's MO. And then once Darby knows about the little girl in the van, she's trying to, you along with Darby are trying to deduce who owns that van.
Yeah, because that's the thing is she comes back in from that. And she's a little more chatty at the next round. And she's trying to deduct, you know, who of these four people owns that van. And you're like, oh, okay, all right, ask some questions and stuff. And then Lars is instantly just like, hey, I'm going back to Nevada. And I was just like, okay, so it's too obvious because, of course, the creepy guy is the first one to actually admit he's from, you know, Nevada. And that's the license plate. It matches. Like too perfectly. I was just like, all right, let's just see how many other shoes drop, you know, because like I'm just gonna kind of jump to it a little bit, Kevin. Like there's multiple people involved in this, and I was honestly expecting all of the people to be involved in this.
I was too,
minus Darby, you know.
I was too,
and I'd say that's probably the only real twist is that all four of them weren't involved. And then it's just it becomes this like, well, how, you know, type of thing. So Darby, like you said, she sneaks into the van. She breaks in, like she finds a way to get out of the building without being seen.
And, yeah, the women's bathroom's under construction. They have like these kind of like plywood walls set up where you can just push it through it.
Yeah, and like I'm sorry, but that visitor center would be cold as fuck if it had that drafty giant fucking hole. And how did a giant hole like that happen?
It looked like they were doing construction of some kind.
Yeah, but like, the hole is like 3 foot tall. From the base, like, what happened there? A fire?
Water damage. Had to cut it out. I wanted to get M&M on it.
In a perfect, like, fucking cave or something? Like,
bro, I don't know.
It was weird. Anyway, so she breaks in the van. She talks to the little girl. Lars comes out. He's upset that Ed is just, like, busting his balls and shit. And
they're making fun of him on the game. Yeah. And, like, he's losing the bullshit game. And they're teasing it. Ash is teasing him. Ed's teasing. Everyone's just kind of fucking with him.
Yeah. It's real fucking obvious playing with this guy. And then she sneaks back in. And then, like, she is pretty sure Lars has figured it out. But then the Ash guy comes in. She kisses him and then confides in him that, you know, this, like, the Lars guy's got a girl and little girl and blah, 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 blah. And then, so he's like, all right, you go out and he'll follow you and then I'll go out too. And then lo and behold, Ash is in on it.
Well, because Darby goes to get the little girl and she's like, she takes the tape off and then she's like, oh, what are the men that capped me? She's like, men? Yeah, there was two of them. She's like, oh, snap. And then you see them coming out. And Ash is like, hey, dumbass, she figured you out. Like, she knows he knows it's you. And he's like, uh-oh. And he's like, let's just kill her or something. Like, what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so he takes the gun from Lars, and he's just like, all right, let's fucking get her gone. And then she manages to sneak back in. And then that's when Sandy comes in to check on her. Because, again, like, fucking Darby's taking, like, wicked shits and stuff.
Wicked shits, bruh.
Yeah, and then Ash comes in, too, or is in there, too, and he forces a kiss upon Darby. And so now it's like she's got to play along. She's got to keep the peace in front of the other people. Otherwise, they're going to kill her, everyone, and the little girl. So they're back
She tries to shoot a text to the police first.
Yeah.
And sends them a message, but it's not going to go through because no one's got signal. That's kind of like a little carrot hanging over the story.
Yeah, and then Ash deletes the message that didn't go through, and I'm like, that's not how text messages work, Ash. And he's just like, well, I don't know. I grew up in an orphanage because I was kidnapped from my family.
Yeah.
So and that's kind of the fucked up thing is like, so Ash and Lars's like thing is that they go and they kidnap kids for this Uncle Jimmy or some shit. I forget his name.
Uncle Ryan or something?
No, it wasn't that.
It doesn't matter.
Uncle Ryan.
Uncle Kenny. Uncle Kenny.
Uncle Kenny. There we go. Uncle Kenny Rogers. And like when you really think about it, they're like they grew up together and stuff because they were probably also kidnapped. And you're just like, oh shit, this is like a horrible, like these two guys are fucked up. And like, damn, shit's going to get more fucked up probably. And then so there's this whole like cat and mouse thing. And eventually Darby's able to tell Ed and Sandy about the little girl. The little girl actually escapes because Darby leaves her a knife.
Box cutter. She cuts the tape off.
Yeah. And so like Darby and Ash and Lars all go out into the woods to look for her. And Ed's just like, something's going up. And Sandy's trying to keep the peace just a little too much. Like, shit is suspicious. And she's like, let's just not get involved. Let's just go to Reno, Ed. Let's just go to Reno.
You love to gamble, Ed. Let me just, feel your vices so you don't forget about this. And the whole reason Lars and Ash, take Darby out there because they know the little girl won't respond to them.
Yeah.
And kind of a little dipsy-doo, we tricked you because you're a stupid little kid. And that doesn't work because these guys are kind of idiots, and Darby just one-ups them again.
Yeah, so Darby, then she sees that the little girl double-backed, and so she double-backs as well. And then she just tricks him with the old throw stone, they think you're over there gimmick. Runs back inside, gets the little girl. Brings the little girl in. She's like, they kidnapped her. They're going to fucking kill us, blah, 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 blah. It's like, oh, shit. So then they do this whole standoff where Ash and Lars are outside with gas, and they're just like, we're going to fucking light the place on fire.
They give us the girl. Give us the girl. Give us the girl. Yeah. The girl's sick.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh.
She's sick. We got her medicine.
Disease.
Yeah.
Basically, it means your body creates, you need a too much adrenaline. If you become stressed or worked up,
did you see the movie Cranked, everybody? This little girl is fucking Jason Statham all the time. Like, she's got the shaved head.
Cranked the reboot.
Yeah,
Cranked. Dude, she's got braids. She's got MMA girl braids.
Yeah, that'd be sick. So, but the sides are shaved. Vin Diesel pitch black style with like a knife and oil. You're just like,
yeah, and you find out it's Statham's daughter from the first two, and she's just cranked out of her mind. And we break back.
Fuck that Amy Smart chick like 13 times in the movie just so you could see her ass.
And then
this is the daughter.
And then we're bringing back the bullet time camera because like the Matrix movie fucked it all up. Now we're just bringing it all. It's all 90s as fuck, early 2000s. You're going to be like, damn, dude, Crank is back.
Cranked back. We fucking love this shit.
And when she starts, her heart starts pumping because she's cranked. She starts like, popping and like starts like twerking. And everybody stops. They all stop shooting. And then they get close to watch her twerk. And then she just beats them all up. And everybody's like, damn, but we bullet camera her twerking.
That's fucking sick. I don't like that part.
It's sick. Hey, well, it's not for you, okay?
It's for
all the men in the audience, okay, bro?
God, she's a little girl. Gross.
No, she's full grown in this. What are you talking about? Why were you thinking a little girl? This is not like
I don't know what you're talking about. This little girl.
No, we just. No.
Anyway, this little girl wakes up. Her name's Jay. She wakes up. She recognizes Sandy.
Wait, how's the little girl beating up all these guys, dude? Like,
well, that's what I thought we were talking about. Like, she was just like, because she's cranked.
No, I was just talking about it's a reboot of Crank.
I get it. She's grown away. Or she's grown.
Yeah. She's old enough. She's old enough to twerk and work.
Twerk and work. Please don't put that on a shirt, anyone.
Done.
Don't believe in that either. That's horrible. Yeah, cool. So she wakes up. She's like, Mrs. fucking Dale Dickey? I mean, Sandy? And you're just like, what the fuck? How does this little girl recognize Sandy? And when cue the flashback.
This is the part, Dustin, where I was out. I was done.
Yeah, it was too much.
Hey. It was like if there was something layered here in maybe the novel that's worked out better, but in the movie, you're trying to say we're all convening in this one moment in time with these characters that are orchestrating this big coyote, you know, flesh trade, fucking children being kidnapped, run, and it's we're all here. Yeah. I thought fucking Uncle Kenny was gonna walk out. Oh man, I was in that dumper for hours. I'd be like, everyone's here.
He's just like, I'm real disappointed you, Lars. I told you to shave that fucking creepy head.
Yeah, like I think that was too much. I think that's when the movie was trying to be too fucking cute, trying to like,
yeah, and it makes you instantly hate this little girl too, because she's like, fucking do the TikTok dance.
Well, no, I didn't mind that.
You were smoking weed.
Well, yeah, dude, like you're on the clock. What are you doing? Like vacuum the floor and do the TikTok dance. I'm the daughter. I'm rich.
We know why she's working, because Ed lost her life savings. But what's weird, the swerve here is that we were told she was a nurse.
Well, dude, you got to remember that TikTok dance was terrible. Like when the little girl was like, fucking tragic, mate. And I was like, yeah, it was pretty bad.
No, it was. I mean, but still, I was just like, the swerve is we were told that Sandy's a nurse. And it turns out she's just like nursing a weed fix, apparently.
So. Well, I know. I thought she was like she was retired or washed out because she knew what the drugs were. She knew what the disease was.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get that. But that's why I was just like, that's a weird. It felt like it was forced upon the story. Because well, it's just like, well, she knows that.
If she takes care of the little girl, she probably already knew that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I get that. But it was just kind of like.
For TikTok. That's the best.
God damn it, dude. It just felt too convenient that her gambler husband wiped out their life savings and now she's having to work as a fucking maid instead of doing something in healthcare, which she's clearly qualified for, Kevin. That's what I'm saying. It just felt like it was
maybe only we thought we didn't go to the dark web to hire some kidnappers to get a ransom for this little girl. So were they getting like 25K for her or something?
No, there was no money.
How money I mentioned, but
they mentioned money, but it wasn't really going to happen because, you know.
Well, she set it up. She found these guys on humortrafficking.com.
Humorme.com. Fucking humorme.com. I got you. You were like humor.
That's what it felt like. Good humor bar I was taking. And
I thought they reached out to her. I don't think she found them.
I thought it was because she works there and she was like, hey, come kidnap this kid.
Kidnap this kid. She does TikTok. It's fucking real annoying. She won't let me smoke dope when I'm fucking vacuuming. Like, what the fuck?
Snitch. Get out of your ass. Everyone's a snitch in this movie.
Yeah, they really are. But anyway, yeah. So she's supposed to get a cut. Ed's like, what the fuck is going on? And she's just like, rats out Ed saying he doesn't have a gun, everything's cool, just fucking
yeah, that's like your husband, like girl. you thought that was going to end the situation in a way where you guys don't get shot,
yeah, or like the marriage is ruined. And granted, Ed shows his ass here
because the marriage
like
is
all the savings
ruined.
Was gone, and he was like, I had a plan. She's like, what, you're gonna put it all on black and win it back? And he was just hey, that rhymes, that's really good. So but nope. But yeah.
Ed gives the car keys to Darby
to hide them.
And there's I don't really get what's going on in this rec center or this visitor center because there's all these really expensive tools, like a brand new nail gun just left there. And I'm like,
yeah.
Was the guy
coming
back?
Well, they had to board up the wall with the plywood.
But yeah, but do you leave your expensive nail gun there, dude?
There's a blizzard and there's a fucking insurance on it, and you're just like, fuck it, I'm getting a better one. Maybe. All of a sudden I'm getting the fucking Ryobi one that was Black and Decker. I don't need that shit.
Oh yeah, or Milwaukee make nail guns.
Yeah, Milwaukee makes everything. They make fucking hats. They make fucking underwear, I'm sure.
They'll squeeze nail guns in there somewhere.
I see motherfuckers just like, look, oh, did you see the new Milwaukee hat? I'm just like, Jesus Christ, guys. I mean,
yeah, it's cool. I saw
it. They got mediocre sports teams there. Take that, Milwaukee.
Yeah. No.
Anyway. Yeah. So
collateral damage.
Sandy sells them out. I'm just going to lose one audience member at a time, Kevin. So they come in. They're just like, well, fuck you, Ed. Trying to keep our kid from us or whatever. So Ed gets shot instantly. And Sandy's just like, what the fuck? And then Ash shoots Sandy as well. And then she crawls over to Ed and is just like, I didn't mean to fucking ruin our lives after you already ruined our lives. And
I didn't mean to double up on that.
Yeah. The kid's freaking out. Lars is just like, it's okay. We're going to find you a better home, Jay. She's like, I'm rich and I do TikTok. I don't need a better home, motherfucker. I'm a pretty white girl. Leave me alone. I'll be fine.
The thing that was funny is Sandy had like mace and just maced everyone in the room a couple of times.
She did. Yeah, she did. She maced.
Have you ever been in a room, Dustin, where mace has gone off?
Oh, yeah. Everyone gets maced.
It's like, you're just like, you don't want the person that got mace is just like, hey, this is, I don't know, like her dancing on TikTok, tragic. But everyone else in the room is like, bro, did someone spray mace? Because my eyes are fucked up right now. That shit is powerful.
Yeah, everyone's getting hit on that. There's collateral damage. Okay. Mm-hmm. Arnold Schwarzenegger showing up. He's just like, the fucking 90s movies. They were real bad. Collateral damage kind of hurt my career.
Among other things.
Not as much as The End of Days. Did you see the movie?
Ooh, I did. I saw it in the... Arnold, I saw it in the theater. I tried to help out.
Thank you for doing that. I mean, it should have been directed DVD.
I would have watched it.
Maybe even the VHS.
I never saw Twins, but I was a big fan, okay?
Daddy's a real good guy. He won't talk to me no more, though, because, like, he's woke, and I'm kind of a fucking Republican. But I'm a never Trump, okay?
Arnold, why don't you do like a guest spot on Sunny? Because, you know, Danny's there. Y'all could do like a mock twin
thing. I just said he's not talking to me.
I forgot. Sorry,
You think this dude's going to be like, hey, come ruin my comedy show that I'm doing.
It's been going on for a while. You would probably get taken right off the air.
I don't think he wants that. I mean, he's doing good paychecks. He was on Ellen with the guns. I saw the meme. It made me. I was like, Dad, he's doing it. He's doing a little thing. I should say little.
Yeah, that wasn't cool.
That's why he doesn't call me no more.
All right, I'm going to have to let you go. We got to finish this fucking
movie. The movie is super good. Darby, she does the acting. God's gym, go there. All right, I'm done. Our married couple shot. Darby's been maced as well. Lars has been maced. The little girl looks like she's been hit by a truck. And Ash is just he's real upset. He's real upset about how everything's going. He's
because where are the keys? People. It's time to go.
Yeah. So he takes Darby over, and after just an insanely difficult amount of time, finally nail guns her hand, stigmata style.
Yeah,
to the wall. I don't know why that was necessary. And what's weird is like his comfort level with murder, having never killed anyone, becomes very quickly. Comfortable. Yeah, quickly. Like it escalates quickly, and he's very comfortable with it quickly. Whereas Lars, who was given the gun for some fucking reason, is just like, I don't know if we should be doing this. Like, I've become the voice of reason for some reason now. But he's like, where are the keys? She's like, fuck it. I just got nail gunned in the wrist. It's outside. They're outside in the snow somewhere. Good luck, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and gets him. Lars is just sitting there. He's just real, I don't know, just frantic at this point. And she calls the little girl over. She's like, I need you to just turn the lights off.
Well, her hammer is also in the corner.
She's like, give me the hammer, then turn the lights off.
She starts doing the hammer dance. She's like, how do you know that? She's like, TikTok, she's bitch. Like,
TikTok, motherfucker. I just want to go back on.
She's like, bring my phone. You're really good at that. She's like, TikTok, bitch.
She's like, I just watched I watch people of color do dances, and I just steal them. I get more credit because
everybody's like, whoa,
China's racist. And they're like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Whoa.
Algorithm, motherfuckers, is racist.
Fuck this little girl right now. Not cool. Not cool. Someone hit her with the hammer.
Someone hit her with the hair. Yeah.
Whoa. She is good, though. Look at her go.
God damn, she's got some moves. You know, I bet she could grow up to be the crank guy's daughter.
Oh, I'm writing that movie.
So she convinces Jay to very slowly and painfully walk over to turn off the lights. And Lars just lets it happen because he's concerned about Jay.
He's screaming at her. He's like, don't do it. Don't do it.
He's like, don't make me do it.
I thought he was like, is he scared of the dark or something?
He probably was, dude. He's kind of a shithead. So then Darby pulls the nail. After the lights go out, Darby pulls the nail. Ash comes back. He's like, what the fuck's going on?
Well, no, dude. Hold, slow down, dude. Darby takes out the cocaine, snorts it, pulls the nail out from the violet paint. Bad play, Darby. I would have been like, hey, turn the lights off. Come back over to the little girl. Have the little girl sniff the cocaine. Give her the hammer. And she just starts decapping everything.
Yeah. Just hang out, Darby. Just hang out. Like,
just
literally.
Hang out. Let her just hammer everything, like, viciously. And she's
just like real raid too.
Like, yeah, just, she's coked out of her mind.
She's like, listen, I know this is probably going to kill you.
Yeah.
You already got the adrenaline thing, and I'm about to make it way worse.
And then,
like,
the movie's over, and Darby just slouches down and waits for the cop to show. And because the fire's already started, I think.
And he's just like, geez, no, it hadn't started.
Oh, that's after Ash does it. But yeah, then the cop's just like, bro. What the
fuck?
He's
like, I invite you guys into my fucking visitor center. You ate all the goddamn snacks. Did you even leave a tip? Did you even leave a tip? Fuck you all. Fuck you all. He's the worst cop, too, by the way. Like, just.
Yeah, the cop.
He was not. He did not want.
This is a different cop. This is a different cop that shows up at the end.
No. That's the same cop, dude. That's 100% the same cop.
The cop's older in the beginning, and this one's younger.
No, it's the same guy, dude. It is the same. There is one cop, only one.
Well, he does a couple of things that have him fired from the force.
Don't worry about it. Ash is going to take care of that for him. He's got him on an early pension. So, so now I think,
the text message from Ash, Ash gets the text message. Hey, sorry, Darby, your mom died. She said, I'm going to do some coke.
Oh yeah, that's right. He pulls it to her face before he goes to get the keys and everything.
Which makes Ash a dumbass because he's like, well, if that text message came through, asshole, what text message went out?
Yeah. Well, they find out real soon. Cops are on their way.
Popo.
Yeah, and so now Darby's got a gun to Lars's head. Ash comes out with the nail gun or something, or what does he have? Someone has something. Oh, maybe they have, I don't know. There's a standoff of sorts, okay? The conclusion is that Lars gets a nail to the head, shot by the little girl. She's like, I'm coming away with so much fucking trauma. Like, so much fucking trauma.
Well, yeah, Ash gives the gun to Lars to go look for the keys.
Yeah, so they had to have had the gun. Yeah,
but yeah, the girl turns the lights off. We do the nail thing off the wall. Lars is distracted. She takes the gun. As Ash comes back, Ash shoots and kills the brother accidentally, remember? And he's all fucked up from it?
No. The little girl shoots. No, the little girl shot the nail gun. And
how?
It hits Lars in
when
the head.
When did that happen? How does she can't even pick that fucking thing up?
She movies, motherfucker. No, he gets a nail in the head, and Ash is like, it's okay. And they're walking together. Like, they let so Darby and Jay run to Darby's car.
Car, yeah.
And they're in there and they're walking, and then fucking Lars slips on the blood from the two men that Ash or two people that Ash murdered.
Ed and yeah.
Yeah, Ed's and the blood. Nail goes in all the way.
That was funny to me.
That was hilarious. I laughed my ass off. It was my favorite part of the movie because I was just like, and he's just like, Lars.
I don't think that was Lars. Played very well. Like, they needed to.
No,
they needed,
I mean, I get like the tragedy they were trying to build here of like
the loss but, like, of
Ash,
this.
Yeah, Ash isn't processing that he created this whole situation for Lars to slip on the blood of the people he murdered. You know, like he's not. He's like, Ash, I don't process that. He goes full-blown maniac.
And that's the thing. Ash needed a moment to kind of have a breakdown of, like, sweating, crying. He needed more emotion to fuel his rage instead of just being – he was just confused. He looked confused of, like, what was happening. And if that's the angle you want where he's just going to be like, no, they did this. We had a plan. This girl interrupted my plan. She's to blame. Like, I didn't even get that from him. Like, even if he was, like, trying to rationalize it quickly and – because he's already committed murder, man. He's already gone over.
Yeah.
The cat's out of the bag right now. So
the cops are on the way. His accomplice is dead. You know, he's killed two people. Like, it's all or nothing now.
Yeah. So, yeah, he comes out. He needed to show that better.
Firing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just didn't like, and no fault to the actor. Like, he actually is actually everyone in the movie I thought was very, of the our
performances
like,
are fine.
Know, five people are all very competent and really. Deliver a solid performance for their character. It's just that at this point in the story, Ash is not given enough time to like process. You know, it's kind of like how the card game came too soon in the movie. Well, here it is again. Like, this has come too late. Like, we don't have time to process this. Well,
that's the
thing. So he just starts blind firing, and Darby's driving on bald tires because he's got a fucking 2002 Corvette with original wheels and drives it into a post.
My problem with the whole experience is it's only 95 minutes, and I think the times spent on certain parts of the story needed to be spent somewhere else, if that makes sense. Like, I think...
Well, we had enough time to do backstory for everyone to make them matter more, I feel like.
I it's easy to criticize it. I just don't kind of see it where it would fit in the movie because it has this... slow, nothing's happening, and then I feel like we have to we just blaze through these couple of scenes, and so it goes really fast, and then it slows back down, then it speeds up again, then it slows back down. But I don't feel like the characters are reacting enough to it, except for Darby. I think she does well. Like, I really like when they were beating her up. She's the way she sold the physical activity. I thought she did great there. I just think Ash and Lars kind of. I feel like they don't fit the rhythm and the tempo that the movie's keeping with the story, you know? I feel like they're behind on or not given enough time to sell.
Yeah, like, for sure. Yeah.
There should have been a little, give me a couple of seconds of an Ash and Lars one-on-one, like, hey, we've been through a lot. We could do this. You know what I mean? Give me compassion for them. Where, like you said, they come from a fucked up history.
Yeah.
Like, let me like, kind of root for them in a weird psychotic way of like, oh my God, like, oh no, it's spiraled out of control. What are these guys going to do? You know?
Yeah. Cause I mean, that's the thing is like, you really have to piece that together of like, okay, well, clearly they were stolen as children too, but you don't really get a chance to do that. You know, it's just more of a,
because
they're the bad guys. Like, go.
Lars even says it. He was like, no, Kenny, he kept us together. We were a family. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
If you have the bad guys believe in that aspect where the little girl's going to really get help and stuff, and maybe Lars doesn't believe it is a kidnapping thing, you know what I mean? Like, it's more of like, we're going to help her. Like, we got helped. Then maybe, like, and then it's, they're delusional. But then I think you would kind of have a little bit more compassion where I think the Ash guy tries to fall on the sinister. Then he goes maniacal with the killing. Yeah. But I don't know. I think there's, I don't know. It just needed a little bit of something in there to kind of enrich it, I feel.
Yeah. And so, yeah, then they've wrecked the car. Ash is heading over. I think he just has the nail gun at this point.
Yeah, he's just airing out that car. He's just shooting that thing everywhere.
He's just fucking nail gun.
He does this sinister thing where he mocks how Darby's dad died for the second time. I'm like, dude, like, that's why he's trying to do this psychotic killer
thing. Even her revealing that when he had a gun the first time, I was like, why wouldn't you just lie? Like, why would you give him those details? It's so... like, that part was weird because I was like, in that situation, I don't think I'd be like, no, no, dude, he angled the gun different. No, this is how my dad
get it right.
Like, what the fuck? You know, it's just that part was weird. Yeah, he mocks the death. Yeah, carry on. Sorry.
No, yeah, he just mocks the death. And I was like, is she going to use that as like fuel? and just like level up and just go to kill him. It just turns into a huge clusterfuck and they start fighting outside. She's got a fucking bull, her bullet wounds and stuff. She climbs out of the car. The cop guy shows up and he doesn't radio any of this in.
No. Yeah. He's just like, show me your hands. And
yeah, Ash
continues
is already set
for like 5 fucking minutes not to show his hands.
His hand is covered by the car. He's like, oh, my friend, she's been in a car accident. Like the visitor center's in flames. There's clearly fuckery going on here. This cop can't assess that, oh, shit, I need backup, like, right now. I need emergency vehicles right now. And he keeps walking towards Ash, and you can't see his hands. And then Ash just pulls up on him, smokes his ass, walks over there, puts, like, 15.
He fucking finishes the fucking staple, or the nails.
I was like, how many nails are in this gun?
Oh, you can get like a 30 round, man.
But like, what kind of job was this guy doing? He's put up a couple of
industry standard. All right. He put up some plywood. He was just like, fuck this new nail gun. I'm out of here.
Yeah. And so he turns back after he smokes the cop. He grabs his gun and he turns back to fucking Darby.
Yeah. That's when he mocks the dad and everything.
Yeah. And then he goes over there and I was like, dude, she's going to shank you. Why do you want to mock her? Why don't you just go over there and fucking
just
double
shoot her the way he did the cop. Yeah, like just keep
going.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden he's like a psycho killer where he's just like, yeah, I want to make this real personal. You thought you beat us in the woods. You thought us beat this little game. You don't beat us. We're the number one fucking pedophile runners. I'm like, what? Why are you so like human trafficking
awards? Like, this fucking screwdriver that I rebuilt that Cadillac with.
Yeah, this giant
put it through
chisel.
Your neck.
Yeah, and I was like, and he sold it. I was like, no, dude, that thing is like, has like a 8-inch girth. You know what I'm saying, ladies? He takes it right in the neck. I was like, you're dead instantly. You're not bleeding out from that, dude. That thing literally just blew your head off.
Yeah, and then he like falls on her and she's got a kick. And the little girl's like, Darby, where are you? I was like, look at the fucking car, jackass. I was like, you're super suck, girl. I hope
and
you
then she crawls over.
Again.
Darby crawls on the cop's body.
I did like how Darby did not answer the little girl. It just crawled away. And then this part sucked because, okay, not that the film's filmed horribly, but like now we're just following her bloody footprints and shit. And I was like, what?
Was I supposed to think she got up a wanderer and fell down dead?
Yeah, I was like, just get me there. Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
I was like, that's how you end the movie. You don't then pick up with her laying on the cop's corpse and being like, I need help. And that's all she can muster.
It's like, bitch, say officer down. They'll show up really quick. Say, hey, I'm
at the... And the dispatch, who knows that she only is working with
like,
officer
what?
Fuckhead. She, officer Fuckhead, was that you? Come back, officer Fuckhead. Over.
Officer Fuckhead, you're not a girl, are you?
Officer Fuckhead, did your balls not freeze off while you were out there? Over, come back.
Games? I know you love to play games on this emergency radio.
Officer Fuckhead, you did not say over after you finished saying you need help. Over. Do you need help? Over.
Yeah, man. Watch a movie, Darby. Be like, officer down, visitor center, in flames, little girl, real annoying, old lady got shot. I don't remember if that was the order, but have a good night. Please send help. I got it. I'm going to snooze off now.
I'm high as a kite and I'm fucking bleeding out bad. Cocaine makes your blood empty quick. And they're just like, oh, we got Juggy. Get up there, shoot her again.
Jesus Christ. Fucking McGruff here. War on drugs. Just shoot him.
Seriously. Just shoot him dead. And then we zoom out from the mountain. We go back to the picture that Darby's staring at before she left in the fucking rehab center. They let her back in, everyone. I mean,
she's back on the
jug,
guys.
Yeah.
Should she be in the jail center?
I think they would just be like, welcome back. Yeah, you got some GTA on your fucking record now, but you know what, Darby?
It's some unexplained murders.
Home is home. She's like, I only killed one of them. All right, Darby, I'm fucking splitting hairs here.
Whatever, cop killer.
The other one fell on the nail. Sure, sure. Whatever. He was a creeper. All right, we believe you. Sure, Darby. So she's just like, I got my 60 day clean, do it good. And they're like, Darby, you got a visitor. And I was like, did they honestly want me to believe that's a little girl just because she sent her a shit ass picture sitting behind her? Because I know it's her sister. And then boom, there's the sister. I was just like, who fucking cares? This movie is over 10 minutes ago on the mountain.
I think the picture was supposed to represent Darby turning a corner. So you see the picture. She's got something to live for because she saved a life. And now she's got the picture to remind her that she saved a life. And then she also saved another life, Dustin, her own, because she's 60 days in, not in the prison undercover show, but 60 days in being clean. And then she goes to the sister going, hey, I'm the new Darby. And I'm like, fuck you. I don't care. Yeah. The sister's like, hey, this movie ended 10 minutes ago on a hill.
Yeah. I still think they're trying to swerve me to think the little girl was there. I was like, really, if the little girl is there, I would fucking turn the movie off before they could even embrace.
Only if the little girl's there. She's 21 years old now. She's got the MMA braids and she just starts fucking cranking her face with the punches.
Darby's just like, Jesus Christ. I mean, I know I don't age, but like, what the fuck? And yeah. How long do I need to stay here to get sober?
Yeah,
it's weird, man, because she's like, you can't do junk if you can't eat, right? And she's like, that's how it works. So anything works. She's like, all right, you come with me, Darby. Fucking ride it into the night.
They want you to believe it's Darby's story, right? Like, we're following her into this adventure. But then it gets convoluted and stuff, and it's just things start happening to her. Like, she doesn't really, you know what I mean? The movie just happens, and she just goes with it, I feel. Because I think she loses control, right? And maybe that's supposed to be what it's like when you're an addict and you lose control. You just have to make decisions in a moment. And then an old lady maces you pretty hard.
I mean, the thing is like overall, while I do think some people would go out of their way. Like, would a recovering junkie on the way to see her mother die go through all this to save a little girl? Like, obviously she probably saw some of herself in there or something, or just couldn't turn a blind eye. But just part of me does think it's a bit out of character for the character we're introduced to.
If you would have told me, Dustin, that she's in the rehab center and she can't see her daughter because she's on the junk, so that really kind of gave her crusty attitude towards the world.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, hey, you know, you can bring up something happens to the little girl, or maybe the sister's just like, she's missing these big events or something, or maybe just somehow a triggers that Darby's just fed up.
Yeah.
She's not going to not be out of her daughter's life anymore. Whatever. The daughter doesn't have to be sick, but then you see that she sees the little girl and then it triggers her. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. It's like she sees Sarah, his daughter.
Give me a flashback of how she felt as a little girl. You know, yeah. I'll even take that because we're already running flashbacks, but you're trying to run a flashback off a swerve. You know, just give me that, I guess, or throw some throwaway dialogue with a sister on the phone going, you know, they kind of did saying she was always a recluse and stuff. And she kind of mentions it to like one of the kidnappers, but I don't know. But she's already started her shit by then, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just... And that's why I just, like, I fucking kind of hate junkie storylines, because I'm just like, I don't know. I mean, have you ever met an addict? They don't typically stick their neck out for other people. They're kind of got one thing on their mind, unfortunately, for them, you know? I'm not, like, trying to bash them or anything, but it's just...
Yeah, it's...
It's not that someone that's an addict can't be a good person, but I just wonder if, like, that... shortly removed from it, or was that like a new drug? Like, did she get like a hero syndrome because she wanted to, that was the new high or something? You know, it's just like we bring up addiction, but we don't really like talk about addiction in this movie, and that's why it kind of felt like hollow to her story. So
it almost felt like they just wanted to do the cocaine part to null the pain, and you know what I mean?
Yeah. How do I get her to take cocaine here? I know, junkie.
It was a pro junkie move, you know. That's a high level functioning junkie. She did the play, and
she's like, "This is my first time with a fucking nail in the wrist, you asshole." All right, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, because
there's new hammers laying all over this fucking place. That was like her third hammer of the movie. It's like, how do you keep loosening these hammers, Darby? What the fuck?
That it's tough, man, because it's like, does the addiction define her character and put her in this situation? You could have just put her on the road trip or whatever, or she lost custody of her daughter. You know what I mean? Or like,
you could have started her on the road going to her mom, and then just the place she ends up stuck at. You know, it's like,
because her in the rehab center, it doesn't other than she is recovering, it doesn't really give me a lot of insight on her character other than her family has dismissed her because she doesn't want to get help. You know what I mean? They try to help her and she pushes it away. Maybe that's what she saw in the daughter or the little girl in the van is like, hey, she needs help. You know, I'm going to try to make up for being a bad daughter myself and do the right thing or, you know, do something in my life that means something for once. You know what I mean? Like, you can go all day with this, but I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's other ways you could have tightened up the story. Like, when they're like, you could have spent more time getting to know the characters, and that's when she could have been like, well, I'm an addict. I talk about it because I feel comfortable, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, okay, you know, like, that's some interesting backstory. And then, you know, and then it makes that decision of, like, does she get high to remove the nail even more powerful because she has to, like, sacrifice her sobriety over so many years.
Yeah, that was when I was my weakest. And like you said, I didn't make good decisions now, but this, I have to sacrifice it to make this thing to be better than I was, you know?
Yeah. So
I don't know, whatever. But it's not terrible. Like, I would recommend watching it.
I mean, we kind of bash the shit out of it, but
it's easy to poke at it upon, you know, really digging through. But I had no problem with the way it looked, the way it was shot. Everyone does a very acceptable job acting. It's fine. It functions well. It's fun to watch. It's not ever, you're like, oh my God, Jesus, what am I watching?
Yeah, it was never like a chore.
Right.
Opening junkie circle, and that's just more personal taste of like, oh god, if I can ever see this.
Yeah, but how do I want my protagonist to be? You know, like, it's kind of this behavior usually comes with these type of characters. It's not like, you know,
I'm not like rah rah, yay, go.
It's not like Requiem for a Dream where we're going into the whole psyche and shit of everything.
Yeah, the fridge is gonna kill her. It's gonna kill her. Goddamn fridge. It's just old. She's old and confused and high as a kite. Anyway. Yeah, I mean, I would give it a watch if you're, I guess, into like a, I don't know, kind of a little bit of a whodunit.
A little bit, yeah.
Thriller type of movie. So
if you already heard this, then you're like, ugh, thanks, guys.
I mean, it's a good couple movie, I'd say. Like, if you got a girlfriend or you want to make a boyfriend, watch it too. You know, you'll probably be like, oh, thanks for nothing. But, you know, easy. But the fellas out there, this is a good one to believe. Let's watch this. Oh, yeah, I fired up the Hulu. Yeah, it's on there. They make movies now. Yeah, it used to be a reputable movie theater or a movie distribution.
Movie now, theater.
I corrected myself. Fuck you, man. You try to stay in this weird character I'm creating all of a sudden, okay? Sometimes you say the wrong fucking word.
Honey, blow the dust off the Hulu app. We're watching No Exit.
What do you mean you uninstalled it? Do we even pay for it? Oh, you clicked it and forgot it? Oh, fucking, I'm going through our fucking bank statement now. Now you caused a fight. We were just going to watch No Help, No Way Home, something. What the fuck's this movie called?
That's a bad significant other, everyone.
No Exit, that's what it's called.
I'm
Dustin. He's been Kevin. Take us away.
I don't even know. I literally just said the title of the movie. Like, to your face. To your digital face. I said, honey, blow the dust off the Hulu app. We're watching No Exit. And you were like,
what's it called? You didn't say No Exit. Someone rewind, confirm this. Find us on social media. Kevin was supposed to take us out, but now I'm going to do the boring shit. Social media, favorite podcast provider, tell a friend. Week later on YouTube. And go ahead and click that dislike button if you want, motherfuckers. Because the numbers don't matter.
I don't know why you would say that to people. It's very, very...
Well, we don't want them to click it, but the fuckers, sometimes they do. So,
well, maybe if you engage them in such a manner, you'll get those...
Take us out of here. I already attacked Milwaukee. What else do you want from me? It's the fucking company and the city.